Alright, we'll get started. Maybe some more jump on. Any prayer requests? Because there weren't any in the prayer request form that Lisa put up. I think we do need to remember this oil situation there on the Gulf Coast. Pray they'll get that stopped and cleaned up in a hurry. Pray for those people that are doing the cleanup. My sister-in-law, her father and brother both work out on oil rigs. They're just off of Louisiana. And they're actually out there helping clean that up, and they told them when they left that they would not be home for at least 2 weeks. So let's pray for all those cleaning that mess up. Also, the mining disaster here, very close to my house. The Dotiki mine collapsed a few days ago and killed 2 workers, so let's remember their families and all those workers. Do you guys have any?
Negative.
Nope, not here.
No, I don't.
Roger that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, and we thank you for this night. And we thank you for the technology that brings us together, and being so many miles apart, yet so close with the technology you've given us. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for the desire in our hearts to come together and read and study your word, and we pray that desire would just grow and flourish within our hearts. And Lord, we're smaller in number tonight than we have been and would like to be, but we thank you for those that were able to come out, and we pray that you'll bless those that weren't able to. I know some work and some have other obligations, but Father, we just pray that you'd be with each and every one. Be with all the prayer requests, be with those that are sick, and those that have family members that are sick. Lord, we know that you're the great physician and able to heal. And we just pray that you would heal those that are sick. And we just pray that you'd be with us in our Bible study. And we just pray that we'd always give you honor and glory for everything that you do. And we thank you for everything. And these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, James chapter 2. Says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect unto him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one little point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath shewed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Alright, we're now open for discussion. It's talking a lot about faith and works. And starts out, I guess, talking more about kind of favoritism, I guess. And I don't know about you all, where you all live, but I think we probably have all seen this, just what it's talking about here, when, you know, someone of social prestige or someone with lots of money or a politician with power or something like that comes around, you know, we kind of show them, give them the best of everything. And sometimes when we see somebody's maybe down on the luck or having hard times and maybe not doing as well, we don't treat them the same way. But God treats us all alike and loves us all the same. And it doesn't matter how much money's in our bank account or how much power we have over others. It's just He loves us all the same. And we should have that same love for all of our fellow man, the same love that he has for us. So we need to be careful not show favoritism. Talks about faith and works. What's y'all's thoughts on the faith and the works? Now, not everybody at once. I can't understand everybody, just one at a time. Anybody.
What was the question, Scooter?
What about the faith and the works? What's y'all's thoughts on the faith and the works? Now again, no pushing and shoving. Don't run over each other.
I'm not even sure I fully understand it.
I think what it's saying in a nutshell, I don't know if this will help you or not, but it, you know, if I could boil it down just to the very bare bones, I guess, of it, I think he's saying that, you know, if we have the faith and the trust and the belief of God in our hearts, then we'll want to work and do something for him. You know, he says, where is it in verse 19? He says, thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. I think what that's referring to, you know, there's a lot of people that think just because they go to church or just because they you know, had a grandpa or dad or something that was a preacher or an elder in a church or something, you know, they think just because they've done good things or they've had good people in their lives, they think that's all it takes for them to get to heaven. But of course it takes us accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and having that faith in him. And you know, if you have him in your heart, you'll want to do something for him. There's others that just do good things, but they don't have that faith in their heart. So I think James is saying, you know, the works are good, but without faith, it's not worth anything. You know, you can't work your way into heaven. But if you accept Christ as Savior, you'll want to work for Him and do things for Him. Does that help at all?
Yeah. I mean, it looks like he's saying, show me your faith without the works. And he'll, is he trying to say that you have to prove something to James? Or, I mean, you don't have anyone to prove anything to except God Himself.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to get his point across that, you know, without anybody can do the works and can do good things, but, you know, without faith, it's just, I don't know how to say it. I don't think he's saying you have to prove, you know, yourself to God or to anybody else. I think he's just saying that, you know, if you have the faith and the love of God in your heart, then you just really won't be able to help yourself. You'll want to do things for Him.
So, okay, maybe if I reread it, it's saying something like, faith alone is not enough. You have to do something with that faith in order to make it work.
Right, it's the combination of the two.
Yeah, that's what I was just realizing. Maybe it's not if you don't really have faith, but you do the work just so, like, maybe to appeal to fellow men's interest for whatever reason, personal gain maybe, and you don't really believe that by doing this work you will seek the Lord's worthiness.
Here's an example I just thought of. If you donate to charity monetarily, you're sort of doing works without actual faith. And if you do have the faith and you actually do the deeds to help people that need charity, that's doing the work and the faith. But just the work alone would just be by donating, and it possibly could be for like a tax write-off or something like that.
Right, I think that's a good example. Just because, you know, if I had $1 million and I wanted to give it to St. Jude's or something for cancer research, you know, that would be a good work. But, you know, just because I've done that, you know, that doesn't assure me, you know, eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ, you know. It takes that faith in Him, that belief in Him, and that acceptance of Him. Welcome, Blue. We have read the scripture, and we're just discussing. We discussed how it started out, you know, with in James chapter 2 here about kind of some favoritism, and, you know, for example, maybe a rich man and a poor man, you know, coming in, and we treat the rich man real good and we treat the poor man kind of poorly. We talked about how we should always have the faith of, or the love of God in our hearts, how He loves us all the same. We should also love each other the same. And then we were talking about the faith and works here in the latter part of the chapter.
Roger that. Thank you.
We just got started on our discussion, so feel free to jump in.
So, when I jumped in, just to clarify, you guys were talking about the works without faith part, that the works alone don't do it. My Bible, I don't know how it was read before, talks about the faith without works, though, that you can even have the faith but not do the works.
Yeah, I can see that going both ways. People going, like maybe attending services just because they're supposed to, perhaps.
And one of them, it says, just a kind of a quote for an example. It says, if one of you said, wait a minute, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So it talks about kind of the other direction of that too.
Yeah, and you know, the works are, you know, can be many different things. It's not necessarily, you know, the works of, you know, doing the things around the church, keeping the church clean, keeping the church grounds kept up, or, you know, it's not necessarily just the preaching or the teaching or the visiting of the sick or those things. You know, the works, I think, can also be, because I've had a lot of elderly people say, well, you know, I'm old and kind of feeble and I just can't do much works. Well, I think the greatest work anybody can do is just what I call be a prayer warrior for the church, you know, always fervently in prayer for the church and its people. And, you know, I think that's the greatest work anybody can do, really. And it doesn't take any energy to do that, and it doesn't take any great skill. You know, it just takes a pure heart to pray. And so the works can be many different things. It's not physical work necessarily, but it's just all different kinds of things that can be done.
Could it be even be taking this Bible study, having faith, and then just not following up with your daily actions of what you learned in Bible study?
Right.
Welcome, Silent.
Hello, Silent.
Thank you.
Unless you were... Okay. I thought you weren't here when I jumped in the channel.
Yeah, I forgot to get on.
I like how it talks about both sides of it, though, to where, you know, one complements the other. I think a lot of times the, you know, the works, like what Scooter was talking about, where it's not just physical work, but the works of a Christian, whether it be prayer or volunteering if you can, or, you know, just sometimes people just need somebody to be with. You know, it's talking about this person who's destitute and, you know, what, I mean, the Bible, my Bible says naked. So obviously they need some clothes, but sometimes we're just naked of friends, and you just need somebody. And a lot of times those works could just be, you know, listening or having a conversation with somebody, just sitting down and chatting with them and making them feel welcome. You know, sometimes we go to a church or whatnot, and I believe the way that Christ left this earth, the church was supposed to be the place anyone could go that wanted to go. And sometimes we make people feel, I think you guys touched on it when you were talking, when I came in, you told me you were talking about how sometimes we treat the wealthy person better than the poor person. And I think we do. I think the church does that a lot sometimes too, where, you know, when someone comes to church, if they look a certain way or they talk a certain way, or they can, you know, regurgitate certain verses and sing the hymns already, they're accepted easier than someone who's just starting out and may not know that stuff. And a lot of times that person is just naked of Christian friends, and they need that. Someone just to scoop them up and pull them in and tell them they're welcome. And that's that boost that they need to get to the point to be the person that can memorize the verses and sing the hymns and be the next person to grab the next new person in the door.
Yeah, I agree, Blue. And
what Blue was just talking about kind of reminds me. It's a really common cliche. What would Jesus do if he were sitting in a chapel and a very well-dressed man came in, and then a not very well-dressed man came in, would he only say, hello, welcome, please sit next to me, to one of the men, or would he treat them both equally?
A couple more things on the same point. We had a chaplain here some years ago now. I think I spit this out at another Bible study earlier in the 303rd, but they had one of the pastors of their church actually left the church for 2 weeks, so no one knew what he was doing. And what he did was he stopped showering, he stopped shaving, and he found him some really dirty clothes. And after that 2 weeks, he came back on a Sunday. And he walked into the church and he tried to walk to the front pews. And he was actually escorted back to the back. And he got up and tried to walk to the front again, and he was escorted to the back again and asked to please stay in the rear of the church. And then, you know, obviously throughout the sermon that he had worked out with this other pastor, he revealed himself, and it was just a big surprise to the whole congregation that, you know, I think they all learned what was really going on then. And it was someone they actually knew.
Yeah, we had a man to come to our church, and I think I've shared this with you, but he came for, I don't know, several weeks, I guess, but I guess the first Sunday he came in, somebody brought him, and his hair was kind of long and kind of matted together, and I mean, you could tell he hadn't showered in a while, and the old shoes he had on, I think one of them, like the whole toe of the sole of the shoe, where the toe would be, was completely come apart, and you could see his sock foot through his shoe, and his jeans that he wore. I mean, you could have, you know, stood back and hung him up on a line and throwed a cat through him, you know, for the holes in them. But and the old shirt he had was just dirty and holy, but he. You could tell by him being at church he was there desiring something, you know. And, you know, I learned something from that, because I looked at him, and even though, you know, he kind of had some rough times, and he was coming down off of drugs and different things and trying to get his life straightened up, I was proud of the church, how they just took him in, and people offered to bring him clothes and buy him clothes. People would go get him on Sunday and bring him to church when he couldn't drive himself. But, you know, it really taught us as a church a lesson that, you know, there's just all different kinds of people out there, and they all deserve the same love that Christ gives us. So it was a good lesson for us, but... Like I said, he came for several weeks, and then I haven't seen him for a good long while, so I don't know whatever come of him.
There's a Casting Crown songs that I like that talks about the same subject, and it's called What the World Needs, or What This World Needs. And my daughter, we were listening to it in the car while we were waiting for her bus. And she asked me what there's a part at the end, near the end of the song, and it's narration by different kids. You can tell they're different ages and whatnot. But it talks about how sometimes, you know, it talks about the world doesn't need my tie or my hoodie. It doesn't need my translation of the Bible, you know. And it talks about how sometimes we tie ourselves to the Bible, and in turn, we actually slow it down, what God and Jesus are trying to do to get to people. That sometimes when we put our spin on it, we put our thoughts instead of our beliefs. We mix our thoughts in there sometimes, that we actually slow it down and hinder it. And it's kind of you know, she was asking me, what are they saying? And I was explaining it to her. And then, of course, she asked me, you know, what do they mean? We're slowing it down. And then the very last line is, it's something like, you know, The world doesn't need us to be saved. It only needs Jesus. And sometimes the best thing we can do is just get out of the way. And she was asking me, you know, why are they saying get out of the way? So I was explaining it to her. But when you think about it, I mean, the whole song is talking about what the world needs and what it doesn't need. And, you know, obviously the point is the only thing the world needs is Jesus to be saved. And it's funny how it talks all those other parts, though, about the clothes and different things like that, that the world doesn't need.
Yeah, but I was thinking, too, when you were talking earlier about, you know, people just needing somebody to be there. You know, I've talked to a lot of people and you know, couples, you know, if they're having trouble or just people if they're kind of down on their luck, you know, sometimes, you know, instead of me trying to give them all the advice in the world, I've learned and had some, you know, older preachers and older people tell me that sometimes all people really need is somebody to listen, not necessarily somebody to talk and tell them what they ought to be doing and giving them their thoughts or their opinions of things, but sometimes they just need somebody to listen. You know, a lot of times if we'll just listen to somebody else, they can kind of talk themselves through their problem and through the trial, you know. But yeah, we definitely need to be there for each other, and that's what the world does need is more of the love of Christ. Any other thoughts?
None for me.
If there are no more, does anybody want to dismiss us in prayer? All right, bow with me, please. Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again for bringing us together for this Bible study, and we thank you for the freedom we have, Father, to even read and study your word. And we thank you again for the technology that brings us all together and for the friendships that we have here with these that have gathered with us. Father, we know and realize that we may never meet in person and may never sit and talk and laugh in person, but Father, we know, Lord, that there's a better place that lies ahead for us, and we know that if we just continue to be faithful to you and trust in you, Father, that there is an eternity in heaven, and Father, we can all be together there, and just thank you for each and everything that you do for us, the good food we eat and the clothes we wear and the air that we breathe and just the life and health and strength that you give us all. And we thank you for touching those that have been sick and raising them up, and Father, we know there are many others that are sick and facing different things, different surgeries, and different treatments, and Father, we just pray that you'd be with them. Go with us, lead, guide, and direct us, and thank you. Once again, these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.